Welcome back to Mugs in the Morning, broadcasting live from the Bruce Furniture Studios in the heart of downtown North Platte. Joining us now, Brandon Kelleher, to discuss his candidacy for mayor of North Platte. Brandon, how's it been going this past week?
Oh, pretty good, Tristan. How about you?
Well, I can't complain. Life is good. God is good. So, enjoying election season, obviously. And like we've talked about the past several weeks, it's a different election season, but we do have some things we're working on here at the studio and working on some sort of formal debate. And heard from Terry yesterday, and I knew that you've already been committed to whatever we might be able to put together here. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yes, that's going to be interesting. I look forward to how it ends up. And I think next week on the 22nd, we have another call-in show.
Yes, yep.
So if you have any questions for me, if you don't want to reach out, please take a moment and call in.
Now, we had that call-in show last Friday. Any interaction you've had from constituents since then? I know it's tricky with the virus and everything, but I think there were some very good points brought up by the listeners.
There were, and I've had a couple Facebook messages and an email or two on people sort of asking me clarifying points, and some people called in and said, hey, bring us a yard sign. We liked what you said, and so that's been great.
That's great, yeah. Love to see all the yard signs out in the area. Everybody's got theirs out there. It's colorful town when you see all the yard signs for the different candidates for mayor. I've seen some for city council, county commissioners. So it's that wonderful time of the year, campaign season.
It is. It's great, and for those of us that go run and pick up the yard signs, it provides nice evening entertainment for the wife and I. We have a good time.
Yeah, and hopefully the weather doesn't cause too much damage on the yard signs here the next 24 hours or so.
I would say it's about a 3 to 4% repair rate usually. So.
Now, Brandon, it's been a couple weeks since we've talked about housing, but if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about housing. We know that's one of the hot topics out on the campaign trail for the mayoral candidates. And it's a topic that you understand, too. You are a landlord. You do own a rental property, and you are a homeowner as well. So you understand the concern there with some of the housing concerns that constituents may have.
Right. I really feel like people need to have the opportunity to live in a safe and at least decent-looking home, whatever it may be, whether that's
sure.
An apartment or a trailer or a physical house. And it seems like it should be just one of those things that we shouldn't even really have to discuss. That should just be implied in our existence. But the unfortunate truth is that it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have to do as a community is to make sure that we have the best housing opportunities that we can. And what has not happened well in our community for many years is code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us have lived here for a while. We know the story of the folks that were living in a trailer on one part of our community, and they were using a garden hose for water in their trailer. And they were, unfortunately, keeping their children in a dog kennel. And I think it was kind of a joke that they were doing that. But it ended up getting them arrested, and it was an unfortunate deal for everyone. And you have to stop and think, how did we get to this place
mm-hmm.
where a garden hose for water in a trailer is something that we would find acceptable as a community, and probably by far the majority of us had no idea that was going on, and how would we know?
Mm-hmm.
But as if our city is not doing code enforcement like it should, or we do not have the ordinances to enable the correct level of code enforcement, we need to fix that problem. Sitting on the outside, it's a little difficult to say exactly which one of those is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably both. We probably don't necessarily have our ordinances perfected, and we can fix that a little bit in a relatively short period of time. And then we have to go about enforcing those codes to make our housing safe and to make sure that the rental properties and the homes that people own are, in fact, brought to a state where they are livable and safe. And I think that the micro-TIF proposal that's been in the legislature here recently is something that it could be used.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little early to say, but it's something that could be used to help people fund repairs of those homes. Because as a community, not only do we have to say, hey, you need to fix your rental property, or you need to fix your home, or you need to make it safe, it's going to be a lot easier if we say, look, this is what you need to do, and here are some opportunities about how you can make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take that additional step. We have to tell people, you have to do this, but here, we're going to help you, and this is how we can help you
sure.
do it.
And it's a difficult thing, too. I know at the press conference that Mayor Livingston and City Administrator Jim Hawks had, I don't know if it's been months or maybe about a year ago, to discuss some of the housing concerns, they talked about some of these houses from the outside look like they don't have good heat or access to water. But in fact, when you go inside the home, they do have that. They just don't look like it. So it's a delicate situation, a tricky situation, but having the proper codes in place will indeed be beneficial. I do agree with that.
Well, you have to have the correct codes in place, and codes that promote a healthy community and a safe community. You've got to have those in place. And I'm not in any way trying to imply that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying our world is changing all the time.
Oh,
perhaps we should reconsider how some of our codes are written today, take a serious look at them, and perhaps update them and then begin enforcing accordingly.
And when you talk about these codes like this, too, it's not a one-size-fits-all. There's so many things that change, like you mentioned, Brandon, that, you know, if these codes were written 20 years ago, we have a completely different society and a world we're living in today opposed to 20 months ago, not to mention 20 years.
Yes, we are in changing times. There is no question about that.
Now, Brandon, we've talked about a little bit before, but a lot of potential changes at City Hall. At City Hall, we have definite change in the mayoral's office. We know that there's going to be a new mayor. But along with the new mayor, we're going to have a new city administrator. And not just new city administrator, there's been a lot of changes at City Hall the past several years. One of your opponents, City Councilman Andrew Lee, was on the program yesterday talking about how it's kind of tricky. We've had some department heads retire here the past year, and good for them. They deserve that retirement. And some of them have been replaced. Some of them we're still waiting on final approval for. But a lot of changes at City Hall, not only in the past year, but when you talk about Chief of Police, for example, too. Chief Hudson's been here for almost 2 years, I believe. But there's going to be a lot of fresh blood at City Hall. Is that something that, as a new mayor, concerns you at all, or anything that citizens should be concerned about?
I don't think that anyone needs to be concerned in the long run, but it is true that anytime things, and I'm air quoting here, things change, there are opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our COVID situation, it's a terrible, terrible situation, but we have some fine entrepreneurial and innovative things going on because of this COVID situation. Getting back to the city discussion, though, as new people come in, new thoughts, new ideas, new direction, new leadership styles in all of those all of those offices that you mentioned, in the long run, we'll be better off for it. Now, there may be a period of disruption. There is likely to be a little period of confusion, and some missteps may be taken, and things like that may occur. But we're humans, and that's what happens when we go to change things, is we have a few missteps, and hopefully we quickly correct them, fix them, and move on. And that's okay, because we're moving forward, we're making things happen, new ideas will be brought to the table, and new things will happen in our community, and that will be good for everyone.
Change is a scary thing, but change can often be positive, and obviously this change is coming, whether people like it or not. So just jump on board, let's roll the punches, and I think that there's going to be some great positive change, and there's already been some positive change that's happened with several department heads at City Hall already. So,
Well, change is hard, and change is hard for people. For 25 years, I've been in the business of change and kind of on the front end of technology in many cases, and I can tell you, change is going to be great, and it's great if it's the change you want, and it's usually not so great if it's not the change you want. So how you get by that is that you communicate. You communicate very bluntly, and you over-communicate, and you tell people 6-7 times in 6-7 different ways, look, we're going to do this differently. This is how, this is why, and this is how again. And then people will get on board, and they'll understand, because most people are very bright, and they'll understand the need if we take the time to explain it.
Sure. And that goes into some transparency that you've talked about in your campaign here quite a bit as well. If elected mayor, you do want that transparency. There's not going to be many secrets. You want to have the public as informed as possible.
Right, you do. And I think that having some new blood at the city, for lack of a better term, is going to be a great way to mix with people that have some great experience that have been there for years.
Sure.
Because if you had a wholesale replacement of people, goodness, imagine how devastating that could be. And
mm-hmm.
Hopefully nothing like that ever occurs in our community. But you need that mix of new ideas and, hey, this is why this is done this way.
Sure.
And then you can arrive at a new normal over time.
Again, we have Brandon Kelleher joining us, candidate for mayor of North Platte. And Brandon, let's talk a little bit about responsible spending. We've talked about that a little bit here throughout the past month or so. Responsible spending is obviously key on a city level because you're talking about big impacts not only for those in the elected offices, but for those that they serve as well in the city of North Platte.
Right. And responsible spending, you think about it, has really two sides. There's responsible spending, which is, of course, the actual using of funds. Mm-hmm. And then there is responsible activity around spending. And I think it's something that we need to consider. So think about it in this way. We have a block of a nice block of street out here in front of the radio station, and, mm-hmm. and the street is appears to be in pretty good repair and things like that. And hopefully it will be for the next several years. But let's just say 3 years from now, it starts to develop potholes. And over time, if we don't fix those potholes, those dents in the road and things like that, then that street will get worse and worse and worse. And pretty soon, that chunk of street will have to be torn out and fixed. And the reason that we would have to tear it out and fix it is because we didn't maintenance the potholes. And if we maintenance the potholes, then it extends the life of that street.
Sure.
And we can do a good job maintenancing the potholes, and we can do a bad job maintenancing the potholes. And I know there's probably a number of listeners rolling their eyes going, oh, gosh, he's talking about potholes again. But I'm just using this as an example that we can all relate to. But that maintenance effort is true of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't mow our lawn starts to not look very good, and then it goes from not looking very good to looking completely horrible in a relatively short period of time. So the maintenance of our lawns has to do with just mowing the lawn every week.
Sure.
Part of responsible spending in our city is to treat maintenance in the same way. We need to make sure that we're focusing on maintenance in areas that generate a lot of tax revenue for our community. Make sure those areas look good so those are inviting to people to come to our community. Mm-hmm. Downtown is a good example. We're spending a lot of time, effort, money working on the downtown area. Well, why are we doing that? Well, because we haven't done a lot to it for many, many years. And that's great. But in order to spend responsibly, we don't want to have to do major projects as repair. We want to have to do that as minimally as often, or excuse me, minimally number of times. Said that poorly, sorry. And we want to continue the things running well. And if when we do that, that's responsible spending, because we're spending our maintenance dollars, we're extending the life of the things we have, rather than not maintaining them and shortening their lives and having to do new capital improvements in the short term.
Well, I want to address, too, you mentioned, well, some people might be rolling their eyes about the potholes, because here's you talk about roads again. But that's important, too, because one thing you need to take in consideration with these potholes, if they aren't appropriately fixed, that's going to cause a lot of damage to the vehicle, too, that you're driving. So then that's, you know, not only going to cost the city a little bit of money, it's going to cost you as the consumer a little bit of money if you have to go into the shop for a repair. So it's extremely important that we stay on top of those things and have that responsible spending like you're talking about, Brandon.
Yes, we do have to stay on top of those things. And there is the consumer side of that issue, too. If you're driving over the same potholes every day, it is going to have an effect on your vehicle over time, and eventually it will cost you some money. So the public needs to be aware that there's two sides to that maintenance.
I know one thing we've talked about a lot the past couple of weeks is the roads in general, and there are some roads that need some updating here, maybe need a little bit of attention in the North Platte area and the North Platte community, and you actually want to put out a pretty much a game plan for those roads to be addressed so people know, well, coming up here in about a year, this is going to be addressed, or maybe if it's more urgent, you know, next week, this is going to be addressed on the city level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's extremely important and gives folks something to look forward to.
Yes, and there are road plans that exist today in our community.
Sure.
I just don't think that they're readily available to people. And so my idea is more to make those plans more readily available. You could go to the website and see a map, and this improvement is planned for this time, and so on and so forth. And I think the community has those plans in place by and large. Now, they may have them plans to address specific areas. They may not have a plan for every road in town. And the reason there isn't necessarily a plan for every road in town is because the life of those roads depend heavily on what the weather is, how much the traffic is, mm-hmm. and several other variables. And so it's a little hard to say that the 900 block of Fifth Street is going to need to be repaired in 2030. I mean, who knows? Maybe
yeah.
it does and maybe it doesn't. You just don't know. So I think that's why we have the typically 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 year road plans, because you can look at the condition of the roads and do some predictions in that environment. So my idea is really just to take those plans, make them publicly available and easy to get to so people can understand.
Now, one thing that we've been asking some of the candidates here, and I think we're going to ask during our formal debate that we'll be working on, is how do you feel our city fathers and our city government has handled the COVID-19 virus? And we all know hindsight's always 20/20. But how do you feel Mayor Livingston, City Administrator Hawks have handled the virus situation?
I think they've done well, honestly. This is not to parrot our president, but honestly, none of us have ever been through this before. None of us have ever had to do a uncharted pandemic before.
Territory.
Exactly, or at least a very small number of people have dealt with any kind of pandemic in our world right now. So what we do is we try to follow the leadership, and we try to make sure that people have the information. And I think our community's done a good job of doing that. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to look back 3 or 4 weeks and go, well, you know, if we'd have told this crowd of people this at this time, this might have happened a little differently or something like that. But the overall measure is that, if you think about it, in our community right now, we have stayed at essentially the same number of cases mm-hmm. for pretty close to 2 weeks now. I mean, it's moved just slightly in about 2 weeks, which means we have done some control mm-hmm. of the spread of this virus in our community. And that is the greatest measure of success in this. And if what the West Central Public Health District, what Mayor Livingston, what Mr. Hawks, and everyone else has been involved is doing is resulting in that virus not spreading in our community, then they're successful. It's that simple.
Well, and you have to take in consideration as well, Mr. President Trump, Mr. Hawks, Mayor Livingston, these are not doctors. These are not guys that went into the healthcare field. But they've worked with great partners, and that's one thing Mayor Livingston, City Administrator Hawks have done so well at, is they've worked well with Shannon at the West Central District Health Department. They're constantly working with folks at Great Plains Health. So I think they've done a pretty good job at working with that. And obviously, I would imagine if you're elected as mayor, Brandon, and heaven forbid we had to deal with something like this again in 4 years, I'm sure you would be more than willing to work with Shannon. And we already know you have a little bit of an in with the hospital. So I think they might work with you a little bit if you're elected.
I think it's highly likely. But what you're saying, Tristan, is the people in charge brought the experts together to figure out the best plan for the citizens. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what you said right there. And that's exactly what we have to do in all cases on every big issue. And even the small ones, we need to bring the experts together, make the best decision for the folks, and then move forward.
Now, Brandon, if anybody out there wants to get one of those yard signs we've talked about or get additional information about you or your campaign, how can they do so?
My website is a good way to get additional information, and that is bkmayor.com. You can reach out to me on Facebook at facebook.com/bkmayor, or you're welcome to call me at 308-530-0861.
And we do have another call-in, another Q&A with Kelleher coming up here in just a few days, so definitely looking forward to that as well.
It's going to be great.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brandon. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
More coming up on KODY after this.